Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Fraser Nelson. Michael Gove has been announced as the minister who is going to lead a review into vaccine passports. This is ahead of the Great Easing, Stage 4 in June, whereby which many Tory MPs and members of the public hope that there will be no restrictions at all. Fraser, what does this mean, Michael Gove's appointment here? Because when it comes to the debate so far, there has been this sense that actually Michael Gove is one of these people pushing for slow easing, cautious about COVID infections rising. So what does it mean in the sense that he will now be in charge of this?
In one sense, it means that the inquiry will have a foregone conclusion, that vaccine ID cards will be brought in. Michael Gove is quite consistently been on the hawkish end of most lockdown decisions. We know this from his what he says in cabinet, from his overall demeanour, from his role as cabinet secretary, putting forward the sage advice without anything really to combat it. Also his decision not to balance the sage's advice with other advice about the effect of lockdown on the school, on the economy and mental health. You know, the way that this data is presented to us, here are the potential number of deaths, therefore we must lock down. And by the way, don't ask what's happening on cancer, don't ask what's happening in education. That's all sort of the Cabinet Office's way of describing this pandemic. Now, Boris Johnson is no great admirer of ID cards. He wrote very passionately against them when Tony Blair proposed them. I think he said that he would tear up and eat his ID card if he was asked to produce one. So he hates the idea. The problem is that he has sent ministers with conflicting messages on this. Number 10 has said that vaccine ID cards would be discriminatory. Now, when they said that, it seemed almost as if, well, that means you must be cancelling them. We can't have anything that's discriminatory. No, that wasn't quite the message. The message was that number 10 knows they're discriminatory, but still thinks that there is a virtue behind them. Now, Michael Gove, broadly speaking, he was the person who was arguing that if Leicester has an outbreak of COVID, then trains should not stop at Leicester. He has easily been on sort of biosecurity to liberty scale. He has easily been on the pro-biosecurity slide of it. So I would be amazed if he does not conclude that vaccine ID cards are necessary. But there are two questions I think he'll have just some difficulty with. One is, will he follow the Israelis in granting status to those who haven't had the vaccine but have had the virus? Now, in Israel, you can get one of these green cards if you've recovered from COVID, because the studies show that having recovered from it is as good, if not better, than me being vaccinated from it. So far, the government has been really reluctant to acknowledge that this is even a thing. And Chris Whitty says internally, I'm not quite sure if he said this in public, that you just can't trust natural immunity. You don't know how long it lasts. That there isn't much science, really, that backs up the idea that a vaccine is in any way superior to natural immunity. But that might be a difference from the British scheme. The other problem he'll have is, how far will these vaccine ID cards be used? Will they be used for healthcare workers, no jab, no job? Or could they be used to keep people out of pubs, no jab, no pint? If it's the latter, he might have some more problems politically.
James, do you think vaccine passports are more likely now that Gove is in charge of the inquiry?
I think a pure vaccine passport for domestic use is unlikely. There would obviously be an issue given that, for example, pregnant women are currently not recommended to have the vaccine. That would create complications. So I think what you'll see in this, in inverted commas, COVID status certificate is venues will be able to ask for proof that you've had either the vaccine or a negative test. I think that'll be the way in which it goes. Now, we've talked about this before on this podcast, but I think that the first country to experience something sets the global template. So the fact that China had an outbreak and did lockdown created a global template on lockdown. Israel is now the country furthest along in terms of vaccination of any population size. And I think that they are setting the kind of parameters for the debate. And the Israelis have got very keen on the idea of COVID status, you know, either recovered from an infection, as Fraser said, or having had the vaccine for internal use. They have just passed a law today in the Knesset that means that the local authorities are passed the names and phone numbers of people who haven't been vaccinated. I think that what is driving this is the growing view among public health professionals internationally is that the threshold for herd immunity with COVID-19 might be really quite high. So you need to get as many people vaccinated as possible. You've already got a discussion in Israel about whether they should vaccinate those over the age of 12. I think we will have a debate, I suspect, before schools go back in September over whether we should be vaccinating secondary school pupils in the UK. And I think this is where these debates are heading. Now, I think on COVID status certificates or whatever, you know, vaccine passports or what, yeah, I think that their use in some form domestically is inevitable because, for example, how do you open up a nightclub safely? You know, how do you minimise risk in a nightclub where people, there's not a venue that people go to socially distance? I mean, the obvious way to do that would be to say, right, the people who can come to a nightclub are people who don't have COVID, so that can either be a test or the vaccine. I think that is where things are heading, and I would be surprised if that was not where the review ended up.
Until recently, we were told that the answer to this question, how do you open a nightclub safely, was quite simple, that you'd achieve herd immunity. The right now, according to Bristol University's PCCF project, you've got 45% of the population immune in some way or another, and by its projections, that will hit 80% in July. Now, if that's the case, then you would hit what most scientists regard as herd immunity, so COVID would really struggle to take off again. Now, if that's happening in July, then you wouldn't need to be requiring people's vaccine ID cards before they go into a nightclub. But again, what we're noticing here is the vast change in the debate. There is now an assumption that unless these precautions stay, then COVID could take off at any point. I'm not quite sure how this squares with the herd immunity argument. The argument used to be that we've got all of these vaccines, enough to vaccinate the country 4 to 5 times over. They're going to be offered to every age group before the summer. And by the time that happens, it'll be pretty difficult for COVID to take off. So the vaccinations would have given us the herd immunity. The premise of vaccine ID cards is different. This is something which could be a permanent change to our way of life. It could permanently change the relationship between the citizen and the state. So as your employer, Katie, I could be asking you about your health details before I allow you in the office. There's an office company that's talking to the government about swipe cards where you swipe yourself in, and if you had your jab, you get a green light, and if you hadn't, then you're not allowed in as well. So those are the foundations of a biosecurity state, which is a lot closer to the model that Tony Blair had in mind when he proposed ID cards in 2004. Now, I have got grave reservations about this. My first reservation is that I'm not sure why it's medically necessary. I can't claim to be an expert here, but I'd quite like it explained to me why the herd immunity argument about vaccination doesn't apply, why we would need to be checking people on the way to nightclubs in July. The other thing is how many people are going to stay outside this vaccinated group. Now, there are so many people, not least the undocumented migrants. They're a group which I think gets hugely underlooked in this country. They are our countrymen. There are about 1 million of them. They get completely neglected in debates, and Britain's approach is to pretend that they don't exist. Now, they're very unlikely to come forward to get the vaccine because they will understandably worry about contact with authorities. Are they to be excluded from our natural life, from cinemas, from the various nightclubs and places where we intend to have these vaccine ID cards? And then we also read that BME groups are far less likely to have the vaccine, almost half as likely by some measurements. So then you face, to me, the deeply disturbing prospect that the nightclubs, which require a vaccine ID card to get in, will end up a lot whiter than they would have done otherwise. Now, to say I'm uncomfortable with that is putting it mildly. And of course, you could argue, well, it's their own stupid fault if they don't want to get the vaccines. Nothing's stopping somebody who's black or Asian from getting the vaccine. And I accept that argument, but I also accept that people will have lots of fairly decent reasons not to get the vaccine. You can't always say, but what the other thing is, we until recently were going to respect the wishes of those who, for whatever reason, be it religious, be it I'm not quite sure, didn't want to get it, because so many people did want it in this country, it wasn't going to be an issue. We could hit herd immunity without worrying about those who had objections, or the such are being raised in the BME community right now. Now, I do worry that in a society which has already got too much segregation, we're about to impose another layer of segregation. And if it's going to be used to keep people out of shopping centres, restaurants or nightclubs, I would be deeply worried that that would have a disproportionate effect on communities that already suffer too much disadvantage in our society right now.
James, when it comes to this review, how much focus or how much of a factor do you think this risk of a segregation of society, particularly which could affect ethnic minority groups and so forth, is going to impact the review?
I think that's part of the reason why the review is unlikely to go down a kind of purely vaccine passports route. It's more likely to emphasise a vaccine passport or a negative test. I think that they will avoid the fine line of kind of full-on coercion to get the vaccine, right? But it will definitely be more convenient to have been vaccinated. Now, in some ways, the international travel thing makes things different. This is a country where a huge number of people go abroad for holidays. I don't see how the UK government could stand out against that internationally. I think people, voters, would get very annoyed if you say, for example, to go to Greece, you had to prove that you had either been vaccinated or had had the virus and recovered, and the government refused to assist people in producing that information. I think denying people their break in Mykonos would not go down well.
But you could get a note from the GP, couldn't you? That's what we were told a couple of weeks ago. In the same way that you can get a note saying you've got yellow fever, you get a note saying you've had the vaccine. Problem solved.
Yeah. But then the question then becomes, as soon as you do that, and the law would allow this unless you move to explicitly ban it, people could start operating that domestically. People could start saying, well, you have to produce the same document that you have to produce at the airport to come into this nightclub, this cinema. You already see that Saga Holidays, their big adverts in the weekend, full-page adverts in the weekend paper, they already advertise that no one on their holidays will not have been on their cruises, sorry, will not have been vaccinated. The liberty question cuts both ways, right? Which is, it is obviously an encroachment on individual liberty if businesses are asking you to provide details of your medical status before allowing you through the door. There is then a question of liberty of private commerce, which is, should government ban businesses from doing something like this? Now, we obviously do ban businesses from certain forms of discrimination. You know, no business could say that we will bar our door to non-whites, for example. You know, quite rightly so, that is illegal. But in my current understanding of the law, the government would need to explicitly say that firms could not ask for proof of vaccination before allowing people onto the premises. And I think this is a very, very tricky question. I think the argument in favour of it is that because COVID-19 is seen and perceived as a universal disease, I don't think that you could say that there would be a stigma attached to asking people to prove their status, that they haven't got it at the time. I also see that it obviously is an intrusion into people's medical privacy. But if I was running a nightclub, for example, I might think that the only way I could fill my nightclub up again would be that if I could assure patrons that everyone there was COVID negative, and so you don't need to worry about the fact that these people keep getting within 6 inches of you in a poorly ventilated enclosed space because you can be reasonably confident that they haven't got the virus at the time. I think this is a series of quite tricky trade-offs.
And not to get too trivial, James, but I'm just wondering, in the James Forsyth nightclub, what else would you have going on?
So the nightclubs are meant to open on the 21st of June. The social distancing review is meant to report before the 21st of June. My nightclubbing days are long behind me now, but I struggle to see what appeal there would be in a socially distanced nightclub. And I struggle to see how it would work as a concept or as an idea. So if you're not going to do social distancing, what is your answer? Now, one answer is to say, well, by June, we all should be confident enough that COVID levels are low enough that we don't need to worry about this. But if that is not the case, what is your answer to the problem? And I think that ensure that people have had either a test or the vaccine would be an answer to that problem. Now, maybe that logic is too utilitarian, but I think the situation is too complex to simply just dismiss it.
Finally, Fraser, you mentioned Boris Johnson earlier, used to be a fierce opponent of identity cards, which appears to no longer be his position when you apply it to immunity issues, at least. So how does the rest of the cabinet break down? If we go along with the idea that Michael Gove is someone who could very well support such a plan, is he likely to face any cabinet opposition?
It's funny, we're not much in the business of open debate anymore in this parliament. We used to be. But, you know, here's us discussing what Michael Gove might agree and might not. If we wanted to invite somebody on the podcast to discuss the government's proposals for vaccine ID cards, we wouldn't get anybody really to say yes. We might get Neil O'Brien, but he tends to prefer to say mean things about people on Twitter than actually debate them in public. But I'm not quite sure, because this is something that this is territory we never thought we'd be in. This time last year, the idea of having a vaccine ID cards that could potentially discriminate against black people going into nightclubs, the idea would even be considering it would be off the scale. But now we're in the strange world of bioethics, so everybody's slightly disorientated, and it doesn't really cut along left and right, not in a traditional way. So I think if you go to the House of Commons and say, look, who thinks this would be a problem? Who agrees with no jab, no job? You probably get people in both parties who'd agree with it and other people who wouldn't. But right now, the other thing about a pandemic is that it has got a kind of drawbridge up mentality. So people care a lot less about liberties, which you would care about in the non-pandemic era. So you can look at the opinion polls and think the idea of vaccine ID cards is quite popular. Anything which would speed up one's own return to society is quite popular. I tell you what isn't popular, any concern about illegal migrants. I think there's me and about four other people in Westminster who really care about this as a cause. I'm in favour of naturalising and giving them a path to citizenship. It's probably the most unpopular opinion that I hold. But if you have a look at it, there's a kind of I'm all right, Jack, approach to these things. Like, yes, let's reopen society as soon as possible. If people don't want to get vaccinated, that's their fault. And if those people are more likely to be BME, well, again, that's their fault. It's nothing to do with us. It's not discriminatory. That's just the way the cards have fallen. There are a whole bunch of people in this country who are wary of contact with the authorities. So I think there are people who are in debt. There are people who've got who might be behind with their taxes. There might be people who are basically off radar for a whole bunch of reasons. Now, a system of ID cards, one of the reasons I'm against it, is the same reason that I'm against having to bring your ID to you when you vote. Because there are a whole bunch of people who are not in the habit of formally registering themselves with the government, who are nonetheless our countrymen, and who nonetheless deserve equal access to everything that the rest of us have got. And I think that's a very important liberal principle, but this isn't a particularly good time to be holding liberal principles. I get the feeling that I'm one of a fast declining minority, and I bet if we could do an opinion poll of our podcast listeners, probably fewer than 5% would agree with me on illegal immigrants, for example.
Given that we've already got the listener competition for our summer party soirees, if you'd like to get in touch and let us know where you stand on Fraser's assertion that he is in the minority here, please do.
Kate Andrews agrees with me.
There you go. It's already building. It's a movement. Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.